Welcome everyone who's watching us online. We're glad to have you with us and so glad to see everyone here smiling and nice here in Cincinnati East. His alarm wakes him up at 4:30. It's hard for him to sleep at night because he's so excited. He's been anticipating and planning for this day for months at a time. He laces up his sneakers and prepares for one long day on his feet. He's about to take part of mankind's true test of mental, physical, and emotional endurance, the marathon. Now, as he pulls on his orange t-shirt and his orange curly wig, he grabs his foam hand, oversized foamed hand, and snacks for the day and gets in the car. Now, he's debatably one of the most important persons, important people on that day of the race. Now, he's not a marathon runner. He is a marathon fan. And before I'd run a marathon, I didn't know they existed. I figured the few relatives that you had that begrudgingly stood on the sidelines were who showed up at a marathon. But the first time I got in a marathon, I got to run out there, and after a few miles, I was like, there's a lot of people watching other people run, and I couldn't imagine why that would be that exciting. And yet, obviously there's baseball, you know, so it's it doesn't have to be too exciting for have fans, but no, I'm just kidding. but they were just lined up for miles and miles and miles. And the other thing that I saw that was striking, that was amazing, were these people, many of them dressed up like lunatics. They had like funny hats, like I said, like a wigs, and some of them were dressed up like pigs. This was the Flying Pig Marathon here in Cincinnati that I was running in, so it made sense that some of them would be dressed up as pigs to be funny and encouraging, but some were dressed up like a gorilla for no reason. A lot of inspiration, and so many athletics, and marathon runners can be inspiring because of how long it takes to train, how hard they have to work to get there. But I'd like us to look specifically and find inspiration from the marathon fans today. And hopefully in this, we'll see that we should all be marathon fans. So let's look at three lessons we can learn from marathon fans about encouragement. Lesson number one, a marathon fan can help lighten the load. Now, a marathon fan can't run the race for the marathon runner. They can't switch out the name and the number and the tracking device that they have on their shoe. I mean, for no other reason they can't switch places is because the entrance fee is so extremely high. I don't think the runner would even want that to happen. But as a Christian, we have that same thing. God tells us we can't run races for other people. In Philippians 2, verse 12, it says, to work out your own salvation through fear and trembling. We may want to help someone else out, but the only thing we can offer is encouragement. And there was many times it kind of reminds me of that guy I was talking about earlier, the guy with the big orange wig and the big foam hand. He was able to lighten people's load. He had the big foam hand was a big hand of a high five. And he had a t-shirt that says, high five this guy, and with an arrow pointing into this big hand. And I saw so many runners, whether they were in their zone or running, or maybe they were just trying to push away the pain that they were going through at the time, see him and crack a smile and lighten what they were doing. Forget about what that was for the next, I don't know, maybe half mile. They were smiling from this guy, giving him a high five. A lot of them would move over to him and to get him his high five. And that's how we can be as Christians, to encourage one another, is just take a little bit of that load off, even though you can't do it for them. So lesson number one, a marathon fan can't run the race for another person, but they can help lighten the load. Lesson number two, a marathon fan has the right words. A marathon fan has the right words. If you'll turn to Proverbs 12, verse 25, and as you're turning, I'll read you some of the signs that were just the right words at the right time. Some of the fans held up signs that said, you can do it. It's all mental, to help encourage runners as they were going through that, hit that runner's wall. Another really funny one that I liked and somehow super encouraging, it was, "You're so pretty and smart." I don't know. I haven't heard that compliment enough. I just assumed it was talking to me and kept running and loved it. Another funny one was, "Run like you stole something." And as the running was got further in the race, and it kind of changed the signs. The signs further along had things that were more applicable to what the endurance was going through, like talking about your hurt knees and your feet and stuff. There was one that says, your feet are only hurting because you're kicking this marathon's tail. Another one said, toenails are overrated. You know, as you got towards the end, and it was making people laugh because, you know, that's what they were going through. Another one kind of was like an inside joke to marathon runners who know that a lot of times, I don't know if you know, that a lot of marathons are not won by Americans, even though the marathon would be in America. They're often won by people from another country, and specifically mostly won by people from Kenya. So someone had a sign that said, "In my eyes, you're all Kenyan." And it was really encouraging because by that time, I'm sure people had won the race and were like eating Chipotle by that point. And a lot of us were still out there. So that sign was encouraging that, hey, you know what? You're still winning your own race, even though you haven't won the race. Proverbs 12, verse 25 says, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad." And sometimes it's that one good word at the right time that helps someone through their trial that they're going through. Maybe it's that day it's overwhelming and they just feel just completely overwhelmed and in the dumps. And that one word that you give them can bring them up to a better place. So lesson number two, a marathon fan has the right words. Lesson number three, the best fans are other runners. Now, I don't mind embarrassing David Kennebec. I don't mind mentioning his name and saying his name because he should be embarrassed of how athletic he is. He is a shockingly athletic person, and I'll give you an example of his encouragement and his insane athletic ability. We started the race together because he found out I was running marathons, and he loves running marathons. Does them all the time, he said. So we started running together, and I said, "You go on. You want to go faster, and I don't want to go that fast." And so we'll meet at the finish line. So I've got my music. I'm fine. And so he ran the marathon, finished, and then ran back to meet up with me, and then finished it with me. I couldn't believe it. Was so, yeah, so that's what he did. And so that was amazing encouragement that anything he would say to me at that point would be like, "Well, you've done it. You've been there and come back and done, and you're doing it again." So he had a real sense of, his words were very encouraging, you know, even more so than maybe someone on the sidelines. And also the spirit of the run towards the end was so beautiful. The runners, as they would pass you, none of them would go by without offering an encouraging word. They would say, "You can do it. Maybe they would say it's not much longer, but you knew they were lying. But it was still, they would offer an encouraging word at the time, and you appreciated their encouragement because they're right there with you. And as Christians, we're right there often in the same trials. Or some of us have gone through that trial and have run back to help encourage others. And so you can be that kind of person, and you have the beautiful opportunity because you're also running that same race. If we look at Paul, who I think is the best example of a runner as well as an encourager, he's run the race, and he says, "I've fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." And he says that in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. And when he says he ran the race, he means it. He was shipwrecked, beaten with rods, stoned and left for dead. He has been through so many trials in his Christian walk that he could relate with a lot of what we're going through, if not more. So any offering of encouragement from him means a whole lot. So he offers some encouragement to runners when he says, "Run in such a way to win the prize." Think of him more as a runner offering encouragement right beside you when he says that scripture. That's 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. So the best encouragers we can see are ones that are going through similar trials and that are Christians that are going through similar trials. So lesson number three is the best fans are other runners. To recap the lessons from today, there are three lessons that we learned from marathon fans about encouragement. They are, number one, a marathon fan can help lighten the load. A marathon fan has the right words. And the best marathon fans are other runners. So maybe we can be like Paul, who epitomizes both the runner and the encourager. And I'd like to conclude with a scripture that really, really emphasizes his encouragement for other people. It's a very unique scripture that encourages, that's encouraging and encourages others to encourage all at the same time. It's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. If you turn there, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. He says, so encourage others and build up each other, just as you are already doing. So everyone, I would say to you, let's keep on being marathon fans.